Today we are highlighting the United Nations International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. This is Greg Musselman along with Cheryl Weber on the 100 Huntley Street podcast. And nearly one in three women have been abused in their lifetime around the world. Cheryl, those are shocking statistics.
Yeah, and stats are now saying that during times of crisis, that gets worse. And of course, a new report from UN Women is saying during the pandemic, two in three women reported that they or a woman they know had suffered abuse, but only one in 10 would ever go to the police for help.
And I've seen a lot of that in Pakistan. It's a country I've traveled to a number of times with the work that I do with the Voice of the Martyrs. And there's up to 1,000 girls, and that might be even been conservative statistics in terms of those that are working in Pakistan that track this. But we're talking about Christian teenage girls that are kidnapped because their parents are both working and they're at home and they're 13, 14 years old, and they are grabbed and they are then forced into Islam and forced into marriages to much older men. They are abused and starved. And then the families go to the police and the police often don't do anything. And then there's threats against, you know, the girl that's been kidnapped. You know, if you say anything, we'll kill your family. So it's difficult. And so I know that's real. Or in Nigeria, and we're going to be looking at Nigeria a little bit later on, again, where you've got these radical terrorist type groups like the Boko Haram or the Fulani herdsmen that are kidnapping these girls. And often it's used to demoralize them and demoralize the Christian community. But of course, it goes well beyond the Christian community as well in many other, you know, for women, they're so vulnerable. And that's such a heartbreaking thing.
Yeah, it's funny. It's probably the thing that surprised me the most as I started traveling around the globe was the fact that women were oppressed in every country we worked in, but for different reasons. So a different story. So in India, you and I were there many years ago, seeing little girls buried up to their neck with dirt stuffed in their mouth, trying to kill them because the parents couldn't afford a dowry for them, or men setting their wives on fire there because they wanted to get another wife and another dowry. That's just one. I mean, in Africa, if you're raped by an older man and you're just 12, it's your fault and now you're ostracized. I could go on, and we are going to bring you some really fascinating stories today from around the world, not only what the situation is for women, but how we are part of making a difference and some hope. We're going to Uganda, we're going to Cambodia, we're going to Guatemala, we're going to Nigeria. You are going to be so inspired by the things that are happening around the world to help women, and we are going to start in just a moment with Uganda. When Crossroads arrived on the ground in northern Uganda in 2006, things were horrific. Years of war had displaced nearly 95% of the population. Thousands were dying. There were so many needs to address. But other than food, the most desperate need was clean water. People were traveling for miles by foot, even if it was for dirty water, and they were getting sick from waterborne diseases.
Safe water coverage in two districts by 11%.
So along with its local partner, Victory Outreach Ministries, Crossroads Relief and Development created a plan and dug and repaired more than 100 wells, providing access to clean water for over 100,000 people in northern Uganda.
You know, one of the benefits, you fix one well, I mean, that could service 1,500 people. I mean, it's a big impact. We brought it back to our Huntley viewers, and many of them remember it, and they said, yeah, we'll help you with clean water. And so we were able to now go into communities, refurbish wells with new pumps and testing and all of the things that need to be done, and bless the whole community with clean water.
As more people found access to clean water, the most immediate thing they noticed is they were starting to feel better.
There used to be a lot of problems with the worm infestation, diarrheal diseases. But I think with the boreholes in place, I think it is coming down.
Feeling healthier also meant that people didn't need to go to the doctor as often and could save the money they spent on clinics for other things. And other rewards emerged, some that weren't necessarily planned.
A lot of it will be unspoken, that they'll say violence for women is increased when they're spending a longer time collecting water.
Women began to report lower rates of violence they had often experienced on the road to the wells, or even at home. Since wells were closer, they felt safer.
They're walking long distances, and they're taking time at the water pump. Their husbands will become suspicious of them, that they're out doing other things, or that they're not hurrying to do their responsibilities. So when the water pump is closer, it It brings peace to the home, is what I'm told, that the husbands are happier, is the way they put it, that they won't then hit the woman for not taking care of their responsibilities.
So saying that now the husband is happy because she can do everything that she could have done within a day. What's supposed to be done for that day, she does it. Because she now, even if the bicycle is out there, she can come on foot.
You know, Cheryl, digging wells and, you know, seeing people get, you know, clean water. I mean, that is the number one reason that you went. And we've been working, you know, Crossroads Cares since 2006. So it's wonderful. We need to do that because, you know, you see that dirty water and you see the animals using it and people getting sick. So that's kind of the main thing.
Yeah.
But what really caught my attention is that by having, you know, these new pumps and these wells, it actually makes life safer for the women.
It's crazy because, of course, when they have to walk a long way, there's more chance of assault. But also their husbands was suspicious, thinking, who is she with? She's been gone for a long time. Meanwhile, the well's like really far away. Also, they weren't getting their housework done because they were spending all the time fetching water. And it's kind of like, my dinner's not ready. My house isn't clean. Whatever it was, the kids aren't clean. So these women were experiencing a lot of anger from their husbands. And we did not see this coming, Greg.
Yeah.
It was a complete surprise. But what a great surprise.
Yeah, it was. And also the children. They're able to get to school sooner because they, you know, because they would have to, you know, first thing they do, go get the water, come back, and all the time that it takes. So it improves not only the health, but emotionally, physically, and even spiritually, you know, that we're investing in these places, you know. So water is life, and in so many ways, in just the physical part of it.
And, you know, I've just actually only come back from Uganda a few months ago, visiting these projects once again. In this piece, we talked about impacting over 100,000 people.
Yeah.
That number is now over 200,000, Greg.
Wow.
Like when I was there, I was dancing with people because they had clean water. I was crying when I saw a well dug, and I saw just the impact on the community, their hopes and their dreams. Even the money they spend on medical care, trying to have treatment, is so expensive. And then they can't send their kids to school, or they, you know, the parents are sick, so they can't work, so they're not making money. I mean, it's just this incredible ripple effect that goes to the community. But, and you know, it's funny, a lot of the women, the people that I was dancing with around the wells were pretty much all women. Not because only women dance, because men in Africa dance and they're amazing.
Yes.
Like all Africans. I think most Africans dance and I love it. I love their singing. I love their dancing. But it's because the women are the ones whose lives are most dramatically impacted by this.
And again, just see how, you know, digging wells and, you know, as we invest into that and those that support Crossroads Cares, we, you know, so grateful for what you've done. But again, it's not just the water, it's so many levels. And to see you dancing was really cool. And seeing you on camera with mud all over you, it was great. And, you know, and then be able to see, you know, the finished product in a sense of the water gushing out. It's just beautiful. So appreciate that. And, you know, going and looking to future reports. Now, you also have a real heart for Ratnack. It's an amazing organization working with those that have been sex trafficked. And we're going to have an update in just a moment, again, to hear what is going on and how we can practically help. And again, these girls are so vulnerable, but there is help and there is hope.
Lots of abuse that happened. So they're both physically and also sexually abused and not enough food to eat. And sometimes they got locked up with no freedom.
Human trafficking in Southeast Asia is big business. Whether it's sexual, slave labor, or forced marriage, it's a heinous industry that profits the brokers and destroys the lives of victims caught in its trap.
Some of the women, they have really dramatic escapes. Some had ran away when there's no one around the house, and some just jump off from the window, some even crawl through the cornfield, and some swam through the sewer.
For those fortunate enough to escape back to Cambodia, Ratnack International, Crossroads Care's partner, helps to reintegrate and transition the women back into society in a safe way. But the stories of abuse they eventually share are heartbreaking.
I remember one of the case that we worked with. She was neglected since she was like 3 years old, and she stayed with her stepmother and she was left alone. She'd never been to school before and then got trafficked. And so when she came back, it was really, really difficult for her. Like all of those hurt and pain and her story and spoken and expressed emotions. One of the things that I remember she said that it's my first time that I started to know that I can trust somebody and I feel safe and I can look and hope for the future.
You know, Cheryl, I just again find it so difficult to hear those stories. These young girls and even boys are so vulnerable, and then they're put in these horrible, horrible situations. And some of the measures that we heard, you know, from PSA's interview is how they will try to escape, even swimming through the sewers. It's so hard. And we also must remember as well that in Southeast Asia, you know, it's not just sexual slavery, it's slavery of all other kinds as well. And then the real big piece of this is to reintegrate them into society. I know that's a big part of what RACNAC does. And I know for you, you've seen these stories. I mean, emotionally, it's tough because you see what's going on. And in some cases, you go, you know what's happening as you're there. But then you also get to see the other side when some of these girls have come through, and some of the boys as well have come through this healing process.
Yeah, there's so much hope. You know, it is hard. I have someone very close to me who I saw suffer a number of episodes of sexual assault. And then I saw how it impacted her whole life, like how hard she had to work to try to overcome it and trust again and just not have the trauma related to it. And then you think about these people who've been assaulted literally hundreds and thousands of times. I think that's why I'm so passionate about this, because I get it. I understand the sexual vulnerability of women and the lasting impact of those assaults. But I love this one girl, you know, who had never been to school, neglected since she was three, and said, it's the first time in my life I know I can trust someone.
Wow.
Like, that's it. That's what this is all about. And that trust is tough. You know, Greg, I'm going to tell you, like, because of the way that these girls have been treated, the brokenness in their life, like, they don't trust anyone. And not only that, but when you try to love them, they're going to push you away. They're going to fight with you. They're angry. They're suicidal. They're violent many times. Like, it is, this frontline work is tough, tough work. I think a lot of people romanticize, run out of the building with a girl, you rescue her. But there's just so much anger and violence and trauma that you have to work through. But if you stick it out and you're there and you're there and you show up and you're there and you don't turn away and you keep loving, wow, it is transformative.
It is. And not only in Cambodia and Vietnam and some of the other places that we have been and reported from, also in Canada. And, you know, we're seeing even here in Ontario where we're doing this podcast of these women that have, you know, been forced into this whole sex trafficking, prostitution, and to find out that they're loved. And I know I was watching a RACNAC presentation a number of years ago, even before I knew you were involved there, and they had these girls, and you know, that had come through these horrible situations, and they were wearing these, I can hardly talk, I'll get emotional, but they had these crowns because they're princesses. Mm. And when they start to understand it, that is a big part of the healing process. And so we can't turn, you know, not that we want to turn a blind eye to it, but he said, well, it's so prevalent. It's like the one of the fastest growing industries in the entire world. And yet we can't turn away from it because it's individuals. It could be my daughter. It could be somebody else's daughter that was forced into that. And then when you see, you know, some of them that even get involved in helping others that have, you know, had to go through that same horrible journey that they went through.
Yeah. And, you know, Crossroads Carers, of course, we partner with RACNAC in Cambodia. We also work with other partners here in Canada, both in Alberta and here in Ontario. And it is such an amazing privilege to do this work, and it is really the heart of God, and we're so thankful for the people who catch the vision and help us to fund that. It really does. I am a firsthand witness of the difference it's making all over the world. It's the joy of my life. And, you know, another place we're making a difference in, Greg, we want to take you to now is Guatemala. This is a place where over half the people live under the poverty line. And so many of these girls never have a chance at education. Like, it's such a terrible scenario. And, you know, this is a really clear case of directly empowering women and girls. So you're going to love hearing about Guatemala in just a moment. We are excited to introduce you to a new initiative we're supporting in Guatemala, a country where more than half of its citizens live below the poverty line. To tell us more about it, I'm joined by Kevin Rose from our partner Convoy of Hope. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Cheryl. Good to see you.
I've seen women and little girls being oppressed in almost every developing nation I've ever worked in. So it matters so much to me that we are actually working to empower women and girls in Guatemala. Talk to me about the specific challenges that they're facing in that country.
Thank you for your heart for women. As a dad of a girl, I agree with you. You know, when it comes to Guatemala, you know, it's a nation that is facing many challenges for sure. Whether you're looking at the realities of living in an urban situation with limited economic opportunities for women, to rural situations where girls are living in cultural situations where they haven't had a whole lot of opportunities to exist. The limitations are everything from cultural to lack of opportunities. And that's why we're so excited to be able to work there.
Even thinking of little girls, I just read a stat that you provided that 4,000 girls a year get married and they give birth between the ages of 10 and 14. But how are we making a difference then? Not just for girls too, but for women, empowering them in business. How are we doing that?
We want girls to know that every single girl was created in the image of God and that they're loved and they're valued no matter what the norm and their community, their culture is. And when it comes with women, women are amazing. Mothers are amazing. Anything we can do to partner with them on their journey. It's not about what we're doing for them. It's about how we can come alongside their vision for their life, their vision for their family, and their vision for their community, and really kind of help give some support or breathe life or provide a little bit of training, more resources, more abilities to provide for their family, just like every mom wants to do.
And you, of course, just got back from Guatemala, able to get on the road again, which is so great. What did you see when you were on the ground there happening through these projects?
We saw businesses that are helping change options for families, you know, giving women more ability and more opportunities to provide and meet the needs of their family. We saw women going through training in our training center that actually just graduated last week, given certifications in these different areas that are going to give them so many more options for their family to be able to provide for their kids.
You mentioned you are the father of a daughter. When you see these little girls starting to be empowered, starting to dream different dreams for their lives, not having a baby at 10 years old, what does that mean for you as a dad?
Sometimes it's hard to fathom that, you know, not every little girl's situation is the same as my little daughter. And I never want to take that for granted. But also it reminds me to make sure that I'm speaking life into my daughter. And, you know, everyone is facing challenges, whether you live in Guatemala, Canada, United States. Everyone is facing challenges. But I think for me personally, it's that every girl was created by God and has a plan and has a purpose. And no matter what their situation, no matter what their mom did or what their family did or what the norm in their community, they have the right to make choices. So many times you come into a community and they don't even feel the freedom to dream about their own situation. There's such a ceiling and such a lid that exists. All we get to do is come alongside them, love them, show them the truth of who they are in Scripture, and hopefully take the lid off of their life and off their dreams so there's no limit as they look in the future. And that's what I hope for my daughter, and that's what I hope for you know, all of these girls as well.
Well, you know, listening to Kevin talking about, you know, these girls now that they're working along with is to let them know that they actually have choices in life. They can have a dream. And as you're talking about in that interview, these girls getting married between the ages of 10 and 14. And, you know, to think that's the only reason that they're here to exist is to have babies and to look after the home. And they can't. And I mean, being in the home is a wonderful thing, but they have vision, they have dreams, and not even to consider that. And now because of Convoy of Hope and the work that they're doing, again, another one of our precious partners, is these girls now have that vision. And I know as a dad, you know, raising my kids, I always say, you know, what do you want to do with your life? What is your dream? What is your passion? Because I had that opportunity. You've had that opportunity. Yeah. The fact that we're in front of these microphones today is we were given choices and opportunity. And that's the thing. We all need hope, Cheryl, and that's what Convoy of Hope is doing, and that's what we're doing together to again, show these girls that they have, you know, they can have dreams and visions. And some kind of like, really, I can think about doing something, you know, maybe be a doctor or something else and whatever it might be in life. So I just absolutely love that. But there's so many more that that need to have that encouragement.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned girls between 10 and 14 getting married, but actually giving birth at 10, like 4,000 giving birth between 10. Like, they're just little kids themselves. And, you know, I just came back from Kenya recently. I met a little girl there who was 12 when she got pregnant through rape and 13 when she gave birth through C-section because her body's too little to birth a baby. Like, these kind of stories are so heartbreaking. And when we're talking about these kids not being educated, I mean, not even finishing grade school, not even being able to read or write. And I know from dealing with illiteracy around the world that when you can't read and write, you feel isolated from society and you feel bad about yourself. So first of all, you can be totally taken advantage of in life. People can get you to sign contracts for business or different things, and you have no idea what you're signing. You have no idea what's, you know, what you're agreeing to. So the opportunity for fraud is huge. But I think as well, I remember talking to a woman in Haiti who had learned to read, and she said to me, before I would never talk to a foreigner. She says, but now that I can read and write, and she's strutting around, she's like, I'll talk to anybody, anywhere. I'll go up to anyone. And it was so, like, it was so dramatic, the confidence it gave her. So you think about all these women, it's not about, you know, staying home with kids is what my mom did. Like, I'm hugely supportive of women having choices like that. Yeah. And it invested so much in my life. But I know as I travel around the world that I am part of a very small, small group of women who get to have an education, who get to have a career, who get to choose who I get to marry, who get to choose my religion, like who get to vote. I mean, it was only just over 100 years ago here in Canada that we couldn't even vote.
I know.
So there's just so much about encouraging women to dream. And of course, it's encouraging little girls to dream, but it's also equipping women who haven't been educated with vocational skills, business skills, farming skills, you know, running a chicken farm. We've shared a story of a woman who had a chicken farm and just loves it. So giving women options, and stats show that when you give women options, the whole country does better economically. It rises up. You know, oppressing women doesn't help a nation. That's the shocking part.
And I think we see nations all around the world where women do not have that opportunity to, you know, to be involved in the society in significant ways. I mean, we've seen in countries like Afghanistan, where you get these, you know, the Taliban thinking for some reason by not allowing women to get educated and become doctors and have businesses, it's bad for the economy. You just wish you could get, you know, that through the heads of some of these people. But again, we are making that difference because of our, you know, relationship with Convoy of Hope. And we're going to talk about Nigeria, another country where I was recently traveled to, and we did a special, you know, about a called Mara's House, which is a trauma center. Because so many of these girls, you know, they were kidnapped, forced into marriages. They were Christian and forced to become Muslim. And, you know, then they come back and they're all, you know, really just struggling emotionally, physically, and all these things. And again, many don't have any, have had opportunity to have education. You know, one young lady I met, we'll call her Lena, 13 years old, made a decision to follow Jesus. And then went through all sorts of trauma. She was raped and had a little child, and now she's raising that beautiful little girl. And I had opportunity to see them when I was in Nigeria, and getting now vocational training and learning how to read in her native language, which is Hausa, and then also English. And now she is excelling, you know, top of the class. And so you see now there's hope there, and it's a wonderful thing. But these things just don't happen overnight. It's the healing process, you know. So whether it is, you know, in Cambodia or Uganda or Guatemala, and also in Nigeria. So we're going to go to Nigeria and just hear about some of the difficult but amazing things that are happening.
These girls come from backgrounds where they've been through suffering that can be unimaginable in our context. Brutal rape, gang rape, child marriage at as young as 13 or 12 years old. It traumatizes a girl.
Crossroads Care's partner, Ruth Hodge, is talking about the incredible trauma that many young girls that have come to their safe house have experienced. And much of it happens simply because of their choice of religion. Persecution in Nigeria is, simply put, brutally violent. In much of northern Nigeria, Christians live under the constant threat of attack from Boko Haram, the Islamic State West Africa province, Fulani militants, and criminals who kidnap and murder with few consequences. While all citizens of northern Nigeria are subject to threats and violence, Christians are often specifically targeted because of their faith. Thousands have been killed, kidnapped, and driven from their villages. As a matter of fact, the majority of Christians killed for their faith in 2021 happened right here. Christians who convert from Islam also face rejection from their families, often pressure to recant their faith in Jesus. Sometimes they are violently attacked and even killed. The attacks and insecurity have also spread to southern Nigeria.
We're very proud that you're studying.
Crossroads Cares believes we cannot be silent in the face of violence and destruction. We're partnering with the Voice of the Martyrs Canada and Christian Faith Ministries led by Kent and Ruth Hodge to help vulnerable and traumatized young women find healing. Those that are fleeing persecution, conflict, kidnappings, and forced child marriages can now come to Mara's House to receive medical care, accommodation, education, vocational training, food, and biblical teaching.
They need women to get beside them and help them recover from the shame and unforgiveness that's traumatizing and keeping them in prison inside themselves.
We see that the most important thing here to help trauma people come through is love, and the love of Jesus, the unconditional love, the real love that Jesus gives to us to share with others. That is the biggest thing that brings people through trauma.
Crossroads Cares is thrilled to help empower Mara's House in its mission as more and more traumatized women and girls arrive at their doorstep. We're helping to build a second floor which will enable more than 200 women and girls to find help and safety.
These women, when they begin to mature and grow, they go back to their communities and touch their communities with the gospel, with missions, with so many practical skills that they're learning here. Even low-scale medical skills that they're picking up and being trained here, they're able to bring them into communities. And so we're seeing communities transform. This is hope for the nation, hope for the region.
As Christians, we have a call to go and to send. And these are the kind of people that the gospel must come to. The gospel is the power of Jesus in healing, healing our sisters and our brothers. The girls have been neglected. They need special attention at this time so they can become mothers to this nation and bring this nation through the trauma.
Greg, I am so excited about this project because I have been watching the news and I have been hearing about the danger in Nigeria for years. The most Christians killed in the planet happened in Nigeria last year. It's one of the most dangerous places on earth to be a Christian. Thank you for going there. But I just think being able to make a difference, and then for women, women in any kind of conflict or war are always the most vulnerable. You know, sexual violence is used against them. And I know from my time in Africa that anytime a woman is raped or assaulted, whether she's a child or an adult, she is blamed. The victim is blamed. She is ostracized from her community. Now you add on the fact that it's Boko Haram, a terrorist group that is completely unwanted and, you know, just the worst of the worst here in Nigeria. What is it like for women when they're coming back to these communities?
Well, that is the sad part. And, you know, as I'm a follower of Jesus and I, you know, believe in the grace, mercy, love of God. And it is really heartbreaking. You know, these girls, like we got the Chibok girls in his example, you know, 2014, they were captured, 276 of them, 100 are still now being held captive. Now, some good news this past summer, four more girls were, you know, able to escape or were rescued, but they have children now, as do most of the girls that are still being held captive. And even when they come back into their Christian communities, you know, the family say, okay, you can come back to their daughter, but we don't want those children because they're the product of Boko Haram. And that's just so tragic. So there's the, you know, they're being victimized again, not only by being kidnapped and then, you know, in some cases forced to become Muslims and then, you know, slaves, sex slaves, and all the horrible things that they have to do. and then having the children and then coming back to the community and not being welcome back. It's, I mean, it's not in every case. There's some amazing people. And a part of our, you know, partnership with Christian Faith Ministries is, you know, these girls that have been traumatized, helping them. And then also if they still have family that, you know, that they are in contact with, is to have some, you know, teaching to the family as well. You need to welcome them back. That is the way of Jesus.
Oh, I love that. I love that they're doing that holistic kind of work. And, you know, we're working right now on raising enough money to build a second floor in the dormitory so that we can welcome more than 200 women, because the numbers of traumatized women keep working. And if you take anything away from this podcast today, I hope it is that, yes, there is so much pain and suffering in the world. And we know, according to the Bible, that that's probably never going to end. But we are here to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I remember, Greg, interviewing a little 12-year-old boy who had been building wells in Africa many years ago. And I said to him, you know, as you see the suffering of mankind, do you ever blame God, as a lot of people do? And he said, no, I would never blame God. He said, that's why he put us here. Like, we're to be the hands and feet of Jesus. If it's not happening, it's because we're not doing it. And the good news is we are doing it. Crossroads Cares is doing it. Our partners are doing it. So many of you listening have supported us and are doing it. And, you know, you can't save the whole world, but you can save what's in front of you. You can do the people that God brings across your path, the projects that God brings across your path. So if you're watching this today and you're like, this is so cool, I want to get involved in Cambodia, I want to get involved in Guatemala, I want to get involved in Nigeria, Uganda, clean water, whatever it is that's pulling on your heart, we just want to invite you to join us in doing that work. You can give us a call right now, 1-800-265-3100. And I know that you're internet savvy because you're listening to us right now.
That's right.
So you can go to crossroads.ca/cares and give right now. Help us make a difference around the world, whatever is moving your heart. And thank you, because really today is all about that elimination of violence against women and making sure that we can have their backs and make a difference.
And we are making a difference. And I like what you said too, Cheryl. You know, the needs are overwhelming, but I've been following Jesus for many years, and I've read the Bible, and there is so much about the orphans and the widows and the downtrodden. That is a part of being the hands and feet of Jesus. And, by praying, we're doing that. And then, in practical ways and support. And so again, that number, 1-800-265-3100, crossroads.ca/cares. You are making a difference. And hey, thank you for joining us today. You know, again, the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, that is from the United Nations. And every day we should be having that awareness and helping those that are vulnerable. And so on behalf of Cheryl Weber, I'm Greg Musselman. Thank you for listening to the 100 Huntley Street podcast.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Centre of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.